أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الله نور السماوات والأرض، مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح، المصباح في زجاجة، الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار. نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء، ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس، والله بكل شيء عليم.
Brothers and sisters, I think it's very important to discuss some of the questions that are so related to the religion Islam. As you know, after the 11th of September, Islam is one of the religions that have been attacked for a long, long time by many people. A lot of people try to deform the image of Islam, or to give the bad idea or the bad image to many people about that great religion. Well, actually, I think it's one of our duties that we need to explain to people how this religion is great, how this religion is far away from terrorism. It has nothing to do with terrorism. It has nothing to do with hatred, you know. So I think it's one of our duties. I think in this episode, I need to tell my brothers and my sisters all over the world about how this religion is so beautiful, so nice, so peaceful, and to correct some of the misunderstanding that is in many minds all over the world about that religion. So let me start with the most famous word in that religion, the most attractive word in that religion, which is Allah. Allah is the God of Muslims, as many people say. But actually, this is not true, because Allah is not the God of Muslims. Allah is the God of everybody. It is the God of Jews, the God of Christians. Even if there are a lot of people all over the world, they try to say the opposite, but this is not true. It's not true at all. Allah is the God of Muslims, the God of Jews, the God of Christians. Allah is the God of everybody. This is what Muslims believe in. I had a chance before. I had a supervisor in my business, and this guy was from Canada. And we had a discussion one day, and he started asking me about my religion and asking me about Islam, and we were together here in Egypt. So he said, tell me a little bit about your religion. So I started telling him about David, Solomon, Jesus Christ. I started telling him about Isaiah, you know, like all the prophets mentioned in the Holy Bible and mentioned in the Holy Quran. And the guy was astonished, because he had this idea in his head that Islam is close to Buddhism or Sikhism or any other religion, and actually this is not true. Islam is very close to Christianity, and I mean by Christianity away from the Trinity, and I think we will have some time to talk about that right now, because Islam is the religion of monotheism. We believe in one God. We don't believe in three gods in one, as some people say. But actually, the guy was astonished that we know David. He didn't know before that Muslims know David. And that was, you know, like, that was like a shock for the guy, because he lived his whole life in the West, and he used to hear a lot of rumors about Islam, you know, and a lot of information that is wrong totally. So he told me plainly, he said, I thought that Muslims are pagan. He said that. He said, I thought Muslims are pagan. I told him, pagan, we don't worship idols. we worship God, God of Jesus, the God of Moses, the God of David, the God of Solomon. Like, we worship Allah. Allah is God. This is what we know. But what you're telling me about is strange, actually. So this is why I can say that there is a lot of misunderstanding. And a lot of people are trying to use this misunderstanding, especially after the incidents or the events of the 11th of September. They try to spread more bad rumors about that religion, actually. So, who is Allah? The answer to that question, Allah is the God of every Muslim and the God of all people, whether they are believers or disbelievers, because He created them all. Okay, so Allah is not only the God of Muslims. We need to focus on that. Whoever come to you to tell you that, no, Allah is the God of Muslims, he is a liar. He is a liar, and he has never been in a Muslim country before. Because even when you open the Arabic Holy Bible, you find that the word God is translated into Allah. So Allah means God. So Allah is not a strange God, as some strange gods mentioned in the Bible, or that were used to be worshipped by pagans or something. Okay? So who is Allah? Allah is God, God of every man, God of every person. Okay, so now, let's put that point aside, so we're done with question number one. Okay? It's aside right now. Now, let's move to the other point, which is point number two. What is the origin of the word Allah? What is the origin of the word Allah? Now, I heard a lot of people talking about the origin of the word Allah, and they tried also to use etymology in order to prove that Allah is not God, and Allah is a creation of some Muslims who wanted to market their religion all over the world. So, let's talk about language right now. So, it's a matter of language. If we're going to talk about the origin of the word, it's a matter of language. Now, Allah. Now, Allah in Arabic, and I'm saying that to people who don't understand Arabic, let's explain the name itself, okay? The definite article in Arabic, which is Al. This is how we say it in Arabic. The definite article in Arabic, which is Al, okay? In English, it is The. The is the definite article in English. But in Arabic, the definite article is Al, okay? So that's clear. Now, let's move to the other part. So it's Allah. Now we have Ilah. Ilah in Arabic means God. Ilah in Arabic means God. Now, let me say it in one more time. It's Ilah. Ilah. Starting with this glottal voice, which is A. Okay, now, so, let me put that and that together. So, we have the definite article, which is L, and the word God, and we're going to put these together. Okay, now we have Al-Ilah. Okay, now, there is a theory. It's not a theory. Actually, it's something that happens in languages all over the world. We have something that is called historical elision. What is historical elision? Historical elision, when some sounds die away from the word. Now, it happens all the time. Like, for example, let's talk about English. You have the word windmill, okay? Which is wind, and then you have mill. But a lot of people, okay, in whatever, America, Britain, Canada, people who speak in English, they don't say wind, mill, they say windmill. Where is the D? It's gone. The D sound is gone. It's not pronounced anymore. Okay, why? This is called historical elision. Now, the same process also happens in Arabic. So instead of Al-Ilah, this disappeared to be Allah. This is called historical elision. Why do we have historical elision? In order to be fast while speaking. Okay, so we don't stop so much. We don't say Al-Ilah, we say Allah, so this is the name. Okay, so Allah is the name that came from two, okay, origins. The, which is the definite article, which is L in Arabic. Then you add to that Ilah, which is God. Okay, this word means God. And they were put together to give you Allah at the very end. Okay, now. So, some people say, okay, but Allah is something different than the names mentioned in the Torah and the Gospel. And we don't say that Allah is, he is the God of Muslims. And Allah was the name of an idol, one of the idols worshipped by the disbelievers before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, came with his revelation, and of course we don't believe in the message of Prophet Muhammad. Okay, so they say that no, Allah was a name created by the disbelievers Arab. It has nothing to do with the Torah, or it has nothing to do with God in the Holy Bible. Now, let's talk about that also from the linguistic point of view. Okay, so we're going to hold that point one more time. Okay, now, what is Allah called in the Torah? What is Allah called in the Torah? Allah in the Torah is called Yahweh Elohim. This is his name in the Torah. Yahweh Elohim. Now, let me have a look at this. Okay, now let's see. I want you to see, this is Hebrew. This is Hebrew language. Okay, it is the language the Torah was written in. Okay, this is the language the Torah was written in. And we have Yahweh Elohim. Okay? Now, as you see these letters, this is the Yud, which is Yah. And Yah means in English, oh. Okay? And this is used as an exclamation for more respect. Okay? We're trying to show respect here for God. Okay? Now, so, Yahweh Elohim. Okay, so, imagine that we are going to take Yah away, which is an expression for respect. So we're going to take Yah away. So we still have Huwa in Hebrew. We still have Huwa. Okay? Now, let's move to that down here. Okay, Elohim. Elohim. Okay, amazing. So, Elohim, what is Im? Im is a plural suffix that is added to the very end of the words in Hebrew. Okay, it's called Im. For example, in English, when you want to tell someone about the plural of the word boy, you just say boys. Okay, amazing. So you just add this suffix, which is s, to show that this is the plural word. Okay? Now, in Hebrew, they don't have s, so they add im. If they want to get a plural noun out of the word, so they say im. Okay? Amazing. Now, so one will ask a question, and why do they add the plural suffix to the word Elohim, or to the word Allah, or to the word God? Why do they use the plural noun here? Now, let me tell you this amazing story. A Christian guy, I heard him saying that. He said that Elohim is in the plural form in Hebrew because this is a reference, okay, to Trinity, which says the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But let me say something, that this has nothing to do with Trinity. It has nothing to do at all with Trinity, okay? Now, why? Because we are Arabs, okay? And Hebrew is very close to Arabic, because both languages are in this area, Middle Eastern language. And we understand each other very well. If I want to respect someone in Arabic and to show them a lot of respect, okay, what am I going to say? If I'm writing a letter to my manager, I'm going to say, I write to Hadratikum. Hadratikum, this Arabic word, it means sirs. And instead of I write to you, sir, it's I write to you, sirs. Now, what do I mean by sirs in Arabic? Do I mean that this guy has three forms? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? No, I don't mean that. But I mean by that I'm trying to give him more respect. This is what the Jews tried to do in the Holy Bible. They tried to give more respect to God, so they add im to the word Elohi. So it has become Elohim, okay? So that means more respect to you, God. Okay, now, so let's take the im away. As we took the Yah away, so we have Huwa Elohi, which is very close to the Holy Quran, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. Huwa Allahu. But in Hebrew, Huwa Elohi. So, I mean, the origins of the word is the same. Like, if you read in one of the surahs, and surah in the Holy Quran means chapter, Allah says, teaching Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, God taught Prophet Muhammad, he ordered Prophet Muhammad, go to your people, start telling them about me, God. They're not supposed to be pagans. They're not supposed to worship false gods. Go to them, say. So the surah starts with this, say. Okay? He is Allah, the one. This is simple, people. Allah, the one. You don't have to think about three people here. Okay? Allah, the one. You think about one God. One God, people. Monotheism. Say, he is Allah, the one. Allah, the eternal, the absolute. He begets not. He begets not. Okay? Nor he is begotten. And there is none like unto him. No one is like God. No one, okay, is like God ever. Okay, amazing. So that was the answer for the second question, which is, what is the origin of the word God? Now, let's move to this. Now, a question by a guy, he says, how do we know that God exists? And that's a very important question. Nowadays, especially in many countries all over the world, actually atheism is invading a lot of places, invading a lot of countries, because in this time, in this age of globalization, when man thinks that he's going to be ready to control everything, people started to forget God. They stopped thinking about God, okay? Or maybe because a lot of people who tried to read in religion, okay, they were taken to a way that is untrue. They started reading wrong books, so they read a lot of things that they considered superstitions. They didn't believe in what they're reading at all. So they decided to say, no. Religion is nonsense. So we refuse religion. We don't want religion. There is no God. So they say, so this question is going around in many people's minds. Now, how do we know that God exists? Now, let me tell you something. It's simple nature. Simple nature tells you that God is up there. Simple nature tell you that. Now, what do I mean by simple nature? We call it in Islam, fitra. In Islam, we call it fitra. Okay? And fitra means, this is the way we were created. That every man who has good thinking, he knows that it's impossible that he came to that world just by himself. Okay? It's unbelievable. Now, let me tell you about a parable, or I can give you a good example to show you this. Now, you go back home. Okay? You finish your job. You're done with your work. You're going back home. Okay? And you put the key in, you turn the key, the door is open, and you are in your house. But you are astonished. Why? Because you found a round table, okay, some nice candles, and a very delicious dinner. Okay, now, the question is, when you see this lovely scene right now in front of you, a table, candles, dinner. What do you say? The first thing that comes to your mind, I don't believe it. My wife did that to me? You say that. My wife prepared all this for me? Or do you sit and talk to yourself saying, oh, amazing, these candles came from nothing? And this table came from nothing, and these chairs came from nothing, and no one prepared this. Do anybody say that? It's impossible. Okay? When I get into my house to find all this, I know that there is someone who prepared everything for me. Because this is the right thinking. I don't think for a second that this happens just like that. Or it's nature. Nature prepared everything. No. Okay? So, I mean, come on, people. It's simple nature. When I go to my work to find my the glass that I like so much in which I drink tea, when I find it broken, I know that someone has broken it. I don't think that it happens just like that. Okay? There is a reason for everything. So why we are living in that world? Because God created us. Because it's impossible that this so complicated universe has come just like that. Okay? How can you accept this? You don't even accept that in very simple facts, like a cup of tea or cleaning a place. It's impossible. Okay? Now, let me move to another thing. And that's an amazing story, actually. A Bedouin. You know, Bedouins. Okay? And Bedouins are people who live in the desert. Okay? They go with caravans. They have camels. They have sheep. Okay? They're Bedouins. Okay? So, and Bedouins, they are very things that they are simple-minded people. They're not so complicated. They are very simple. Actually, they talk naturally. They don't take care of many things that other people take care of. So, a Bedouin praying in the desert. Okay? Amazing. And he's standing like Muslims. Okay? Forgetting everything about his heavy loads. He just stands firmly in front of God, putting his hands over each other, and he's just praying. He's praying, okay? Very simply, okay, he's just talking to God, praying, okay, asking God. Now, an atheist is passing by. So the atheist looked at the guy, that Bedouin. What is this guy doing anyway? So, the atheist was astonished. Why is this guy praying? And he's praying in the desert. To whom is he praying? Nobody is watching. So there's no hypocrisy. And he's praying to whom? I don't find anything. So the atheist waited until the man finishes praying. And he said, to whom are you praying, fella? So the Bedouin said, I am praying to God. I'm praying to Allah. He said, how do you know that Allah exists? Like, simple question, how do you know that Allah exists? So that Bedouin, with his very simple nature, he says, oh, what a strange guy. That Bedouin, that simple guy, was astonished. He said, what a strange man you are. I saw animal excrement. Sorry, I say animal excrement. I know that animals were passing from that route. Okay? I saw the food steps. So I know that there were caravans moving this way. And you want me to see the heaven, to see the sky, the moon, the stars, the mountains, and you want to convince me that they came just like that? Nobody is responsible for them? Of course, all these things refer to God Almighty. And this is, people, how we know that God exists. Your nature, man. And this is why God says in the Holy Quran, and that was one of the best verses that you read in this great book. Look at what God is given His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace upon him. He's given him the proofs to talk with to the disbelievers. Okay? So God is saying in the Holy Quran, were they created of nothing? Or were they themselves created? Again, were they created of nothing? Or were they themselves creators? Or did they create heavens and the earth? It's very simple, okay? If you didn't create heaven or earth, why are you denying God? Now, I was watching one of my best channels. It's a scientific channel, by the way. And there was a very interesting program on that channel. Now, what was that program? The program was about an archaeological discovery. Okay? A lot of archaeologists, you know, wearing hats, working in the deserts, very hot, and they are trying to excavate a very old city buried in the desert. Okay? And they kept searching, excavating, until they find it. Finally, they found the city. Okay? They started asking themselves a question. Who made that city? We need to go down to know who is responsible for the city. Who are the people who used to live in that place? Yes, come on! This is scientific thinking! Okay? He didn't say, oh, amazing, nature is great, actually. How could nature make just such a beautiful city like that? Do anybody think this way? Of course not. So even scientifically, okay, for every something there is a reason. Or why people are searching all day night to look for the reasons of cancer or the big C. They're trying to find a treatment for that disease. Why? Because they know that for every result, there is a cause. Okay? And the cause of this universe is Allah. And this is one of the ways how we know that Allah exists. Now, let me tell you about a very interesting idea also, which is the simple nature in the time of distress. Very important. Let me tell you about that. God in the Holy Quran said, and this is a very interesting verse, I'm going to tell you about it. Then we're going to discuss some stuff around this verse. Now, God says in the Holy Quran, Now if they embark on a boat, they call on Allah, or God, making their devotion sincerely to Him. But when He has delivered them safely to land, behold, they gave share of the worship to others. Now see, very interesting. Now one more time this verse. It's very amazing. Now if they embark on a boat, when they are on ships, in the sea, they call on Allah. They start calling upon Allah, asking Allah, please God, help us. We are in a very deadly storm. We need to go back to our homes, to our children, please God, and they start praying. They are in a very difficult situation, in a time of distress. Okay, so what happens next? Making their devotion sincere to Him. They just remember God. They just remember God at that time. Okay, but when He has delivered them safely to land, behold, they gave a share of the worship to others. Now they disbelieve after they are saved. Now this is very important. It gives you an idea about simple nature one more time. That, and actually, it's in every man's heart. In a time of trouble, you find yourself asking God. And even it happens to some atheists who used to fight against God and say that, no, God doesn't exist, religion is nonsense, and there is nothing, okay, and we came just like that. When those people were in difficult situations, they were found asking God just naturally. They were saying, oh God, please. Yeah, this is nature. This is simple nature. Because God is in every one of us. It's inside our hearts. Okay? Even if we try to deny that He does not exist. But when we are in trouble, we have something in our minds that keep telling us that someone is going to help us to get out of this difficult situation. You know what? This thinking has come because God exists. And we know that He is able to save us at any time if He wills. Okay, now, let me tell you that. This is a funny story, by the way. Okay, and it happened between the Soviet president and Carter, the American president. And the first guy, of course, he didn't believe that God exists. Okay, and they were supposed to sign a treaty or something. Okay, so the Soviet president, he said that God, or something close to that, I don't remember actually the saying exactly, but he said something that very close to that. God will not be happy, okay, will not be happy because of this delay. Or yes, exactly, God will never forgive us this delay. So people were astonished. Okay? He said God. And actually the guy kept telling people that he doesn't believe that God exists. So I think my time is about to finish. And actually I wanted to take some more time to talk to you about many interesting facts about that great religion. I hope that we meet one more time again in more episodes telling you about that great religion and why we should all be Muslims. I love all of you. Thank you very much for giving me some of your precious time. And see you inshallah, bi-idhnillah, in a next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.